We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, this, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
far.
The
Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters. Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and GSPN. I am one of, well, today your only host, Ty Windisch, usually joined by the outstanding Rohan Kadi, but it is just me today. I needed to talk more. I need to talk at all about Bucks Clippers. I mean, obviously, you know, shared a bunch of tweets and messages in our GSPN Discord about the game, but it was too good to not pod about. Nobody else's schedule made sense to go this morning. Could not wait any longer. So I decided I would try this little something different. If you're here live, appreciate you. We are in the GSPN playback room where I'm doing a live pod. We're not watching the game here. We're just going to talk about it. So I have some notes from the game. I'm going to share a bunch of thoughts I'm very excited about. I will be reading and interacting with chat throughout the show, and then hopefully we'll be taking some listener calls later on. So if you have something that you want to say, a question you want to ask, stick around. I will be trying to bring some people up later to chat about that. So let's get right into it. I mean, I think the Pat Bev and Bobby clips is probably what is getting the most play right now, probably what went the most viral. But I've got to say, I think starting with Dame time from this game is appropriate. I actually think because he isn't the one who necessarily closed out the Clippers, although he kind of did in a way, I think his game may actually be getting overlooked. I mean, I think this is one of the all-time great non-Giannis games we've ever seen. And I mean that from a Buck, to be clear. But he had 41 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds on 54-44-100 shooting splits. I think he shot either 11 or 13 free throws. I mean, ice cold. He shot 13. So he's 12 of 22 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3, 13 of 13 from free throw, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, a plus 6 in 41 minutes and 30 seconds. He played the entire fourth quarter. I think he did. He play the entire second half? He might have played the entire second half as well. He did. So he plays all 24 minutes of the second half. In that second half, he has 22 points, 11 of his 13 free throws, because he could not get a call in the first half. So a 22-point half for Dame. He also guarding Kawhi Leonard during this game for large stretches, especially late. I mean, this Dame effort was, I think, awe-inspiring, and I really do feel like it's being lost. So I wanted to start there. I mean, it just felt like he was so good, so controlled. The Bucks have practiced what to do when he or Giannis gets doubled for apparently 2 straight days going into this, because Doc Rivers said, you know, they're going to do that. These teams on this West Coast run are going to be doing that. He was sure right, and especially in this game without Giannis playing. And Dame made, it felt like the perfect pass every time. He did have 4 turnovers, but it felt like those were more on drives than when he got doubled. I think lost one trying to split a double, but late in the game when the Clippers are doubling him up high, I mean, he was just making the right kickout pass and the offense was flowing from there. It was really great to see. But I think Dame deserves a lot of credit for this. Obviously, they're not winning without his 41 points. He was incredible. I said before the game, when Giannis was, you know, working out, might not go, it's going to take an incredible Dame game, a heroic Dame game. And it was that. And I actually think it's going almost under-heralded. I mean, we're talking about Bucks back, everything else back, defense back, Bobby Portis back. That's a Dame back game. 41 points in 41 minutes without Giannis, without Chris. I mean, with Malik Beasley, ice cold, Jay Crowder and Brooke Lopez, two other starters. I mean, they had three starters combined to shoot 4 for 19 in this game. And it was just like, okay, no problem. We'll just win, whatever. What an awesome game that was. And credit to Dame, who I thought defensively was as stout as he could be. I mean, I think he got beat a couple of times. But again, is taking shifts on Kawhi Leonard, switching on to Paul George, switching on to James Harden. He approaches it like it's not a big deal. Very, very good stuff. S. McAnderson in the chat, amazing they kept them off the line down the stretch. Harden getting them in the penalty early had me thinking a comeback might not be possible. That's a great point. I thought overall, well, there were some points in the first half where it felt like they were just going to let him be physical. And then Harden starts getting some crazy calls in the first and second half. And it's like, oh, okay, is this going to be one of those games? And I really think it reminded me of Game 7 against Brooklyn in 2021. When it almost felt like the calls going against the Bucks were so bad, it made them better. I got that kind of a vibe. Like, the crowd was great. And Doc called it out. A lot of people, the crowd, shout out to everyone who was at Fiserv, who never let go of the rope and helped make that thing happen. But the crowd was super into it. I think the players, too, they were just kind of like, really, the call's going to be like this? Instead of giving up, it steeled them. It made them better. And I think that helped actually help them out in the end. I think they let them play for some things on both ends late in the game, which I'm fine with. I'm a proponent of that. It was nice to have safety valves besides just relying on Dame because he takes so much contact that doesn't get called sometimes. I know he ended up with 13 free throws, but having Bobby Portis there to finish at the rim, Derry Bird, AJ Green to knock down some threes was huge. But, I mean, Brooke Lopez and some of the other Bucks were definitely getting a little physical around the rim late in the game. And thankfully, the refs decided to have some integrity at one point. One last note on Dame. I found it interesting. He talked about how Doc Rivers, when he came in, similarly to what he said to Giannis, when we heard this weeks ago, but Doc basically says to Dame, how come you're not running the stuff you ran in Portland? We hated playing against this stuff, this play and this play and this play, and now they're running it. My thing with, I'll skip ahead to that. I have a bunch of notes. I'll skip to my Doc section. It just feels like he is just gobbling up low-hanging fruit. And I hope that doesn't sound negative. I mean, it's working. And I think that's probably all you need to do with a team when you have Damian Lillard, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, etc. Is let's just make it easier. Let's just do the simple. Let's let Dame run all these actions he's used to and he's dominated the league for 15 years doing. Oh, crazy. That works. Who would have thought? Doc's talked about spamming Giannis at the elbow. Like if they can't stop it, we're just going to keep doing it. I mean, that's good. That's a good plan to me. I like that. Obviously, the way they've played this physical defense, I see some Legion of Boom comparisons. I mean, they put hands on guys on screens basically every possession, which I think a lot of it could be called, but I think it just gets hard to call it when you do it every time. And, of course, just keeping Brooke and Giannis around the rim more, which the Bucks used to do. This is not exactly the Budenholzer defense, but it's closer to it. It's working. And then we also heard about, I think, from Dame after the game, how Doc is walking things through more in practice. Like, he will talk for 20 minutes before they start the walkthrough, explaining, you want to do this for this reason. Like, we're going to run this for this reason. We need you to stand in the corner to do this for this other player. And Dame talked about how, on a veteran team, that's really appreciated. And it's like getting everyone on the same page. I mean, Dame literally said, when asked about the difference in like defensive coaching or whatever, however it was phrased, he's like, I think buy-in. Not to say we weren't bought in before, but it's like, okay, Dame, I think when you say buy-in, you're kind of telling that maybe you weren't totally bought in before. I was like, wow, he really just said that out loud. I think that speaks for itself in many, many ways. But yeah, I think the Doc Bucks have been way different. I think Doc deserves a ton of credit. I think in this game, Bobby Portis also deserves a ton of credit. You know, the energy, of course, the clip of him and Pat Bev just going absolutely insane is incredible. I love that very, very much. That got me. Every time I see it on the timeline, I have to stop and watch it again. I wish we had them both mic'd up, but I imagine it would just all be bleeps anyway. But I would still like to hear that. Bobby Portis, though, 28 points. Again, a game where they just needed the scoring. I mean, Dame had 41. Bobby had 28. Pat Bev had 12. We'll get to Pat Bev. Nobody else has more than 8. Like, they really needed every point they got in this game. So Bobby Portis, 28 points, 16 rebounds. Here's a couple stats. This is the first 25 and 15 game off of the bench this season. No one else in the NBA has done that off the bench. I think Law Murray, I believe, of The Athletic shared this. So Bobby had 10 of his 16 rebounds in the last 17 minutes. And from the 5 minutes left to go in the third quarter, that's when the Clippers took a 15-point lead. So Bucks down 15, 17 minutes to play. From that point on, Bobby Portis had 10 rebounds. The Clippers had none. He out-rebounded the Clippers by himself. Just totally electric. I think he and Dame outscored the Clippers by themselves too in that stretch. I mean, they totally took over the game. He also had 2 assists, 1 turnover, which is fine. I mean, handling the ball that much, 1 turnover is just fine. Bobby shoots 12 for 18 from the field, which is 66.7%. Also 2 of 3 from deep. Didn't take a ton, but knocked down 2 they really needed. Made both of his free throws. He's just like going up and over Kawhi Leonard. Like, it's no big deal. I mean, incredible. Incredible. And Numak in the chat here. Hello, Numak. Says that they're not going to grow a bit from Doc to Bobby. It was so good. Bobby kind of pushed back on it in his availability. He was asked, like, you know, why do you feel like you're rushing? He goes, I'm not rushing. I play on my time. And it's like, well, maybe don't ask him straight up why he's rushing. But yeah, Doc basically told Bobby, or said they have a joke where they tell Bobby, your defender is not going to grow. Like, you can take a minute and, you know, back him down, get yourself to a better position, read the floor. Doc said he felt like Bobby's been doing that. I mean, whatever he's been doing differently, it's been working. He's playing his best basketball post-All-Star. Interesting, Bobby Portis said, I'll have to look at the usage. I mean, obviously, this game is going to be an outlier. He said he's got the ball more under Doc, which I don't really know about that. It felt like he had the ball quite a bit under Adrian Griffin, too. I'll have to, maybe just the way he's been getting it. Bobby certainly seemed to think so and certainly seems to also enjoy. I think everyone on the team is enjoying the Doc Rivers experience more, maybe aside from, you know, like an Andre Jackson Jr. who just doesn't play anymore. But we'll talk about that a different day. I mean, I'm not going to dwell over Andre Jackson Jr. when we have this incredible Bucks game to talk about. Bobby was just great. I mean, again, like, Bobby and Dame both just like beating Kawhi Leonard for these tough buckets. I mean, incredible, incredible stuff. And then Pat Bev, the other half of the amazing clip of those two guys going crazy. You know, statistically, not a box score game that maybe jumps out. Although, again, third in scoring with 12. He was second in minutes, but, you know, was putting up shots, was knocking down shots. 4 of 10 from the field, almost all of those were threes. He was one of three from 2, 3 of 7 from 3. And those are, you know, the shot difficulty is not hard on those threes. There's a lot of players in the league who can kind of wither if you make them make those open threes. I mean, I was watching a lot of the discourse around Thunder Lakers last night and the Josh Giddey. I mean, there's a lot of Josh Giddey stuff that is bad. But on court, the way that teams just don't guard him and leave him open. And it's not easy to make those shots. It's really not. If you're not, obviously, if you're in that position, unless you're playing against the Warriors, you're probably not a great shooter. Pat Bev stepped into 3 of them, or stepped into really all 7 of them, knocked down 3, and I thought it was good. He didn't take all of them. Sometimes he would, depending on the shot clock, you know, maybe keep the action going, find something else to do. Pat Bev, though, knocks down 3 of his 7 triples, his only free throw, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, 1 block. I mean, he was everywhere. There was a point in the first half where I was thinking, like, how many upstocks is Pat Bev going to end up with? Because there was a several-minute stretch where it just felt like he was stopping a Clippers possession every time or every other time down. I mean, I think it wasn't just him. Credit to Dame. Credit to Jay Crowder. Malik Beasley had 3 steals. Dame just was credited with 1. Jay credited with 0. It looked like he did not play after it seemed like he injured his knee. Hopefully it's not too serious. He didn't go back into the locker room, so we'll probably have an update on him either whenever the Bucks practice next or the injury report this evening before their game against the – who do they play first? Warriors? Whoever they play on Wednesday, tomorrow night. But, Pat, I mean, the Bucks had really active hands, and Pat Bev led the way there. Just a great game. I mean, I've said it many times since the deadline, but I was underwhelmed at the deadline, and I was so wrong. I think the dog mentality is something that sometimes I've rolled my eyes at. I mean, clearly PJ Tucker made a big impact, but it's clearly something this team needed. And my goodness, Pat Bev has brought it. He's been good on the court too. I mean, obviously his scoring is not going to be, you know, 15 points a game on crazy shooting or anything, but he's played well. Defensively, he's really still got it. I mean, there were a lot of possessions where he didn't get a steal, but I've got to say 5 times, maybe more. I mean, chat weigh in if I'm overestimating that he is just like knocking the ball away from Paul George and making PG reset in the post. Like, I don't think the Bucks like Paul George very much, something I gathered from this game. Obviously, he and Dame have history, and Pat Bev has history with everyone on earth, but he was just so disruptive. It was great to see. So credit to Pat Bev. And then quickly, like, Malik Beasley, horrible shooting game, I thought really cost them at points through that third quarter, but then finally knocks down 1-3 late, has a great steal on Kawhi and finish in transition. You know, had the 3 steals, 2 assists, 4 rebounds. Did totally biff an open dunk, though. That was tough. At the moment, I was like, oh, that could really cost them. Thankfully, it didn't. But Brook Lopez, paint defense in the fourth quarter. Again, a guy who didn't really have a shot, but had 3 assists. Brook Lopez, 3 assists, only credited with 2 blocks, but, you know, really walled off the paint. I think the Clippers scored, what they scored, like 15 in the fourth quarter or something like that? 25 in the fourth quarter. They were outscored 40-25. In the fourth, which is fantastic. And Brook Lopez had a lot to do with that defense as well. And then AJ Green. My goodness, people thought I wasn't going to talk about AJ Green. Wow, the Eurostep bump. How real is it? As McAnderson says, he played the final 15 or so minutes. That was awesome. John says, we're 6-0 since All-Star break and back in second. If you're not AJ Green, better luck next year. I believe this was around when I was talking about the Ajax conundrum and his role. I mean, AJ is the young guy for this season. That's not debatable. I mean, he's just been awesome. 2-for-4, all of his shots were 3s, knocked down 2 of them, including 1, the shot that everyone will remember from this game, where, I mean, a 30-footer. And as Neumach points out, with Paul George being the guy right there, I mean, I saw so many... That's not a good shot. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care if it went in. That's not a good shot memes, which, of course, is what Paul George said after Dame hit his most legendary, you know, walk-off playoff shot right in his face, waved him home and tapped the wrist and everything else. That an all-time NBA play. This one wasn't quite that good, but it was a deep 3 from AJ Green. AJ also had 3 assists to 1 turnover. He kind of drove into traffic and got it knocked away. But, you know, 1 turnover to 3 assists is just fine. 2 rebounds. Played the whole fourth and a lot of minutes right before the end of the third as well. Clearly has earned Doc Rivers trust. I mean, even if we're assuming that Jay Crowder wasn't able to play, Pat Bev, Dame, Bobby Portis, AJ Green all were available to play. Of course, Brook Lopez was closing. They still had Malik Beasley and Pat Connaughton, who could play as well. Kind of surprised. Pat only played 17 minutes. Haven't talked about Pat. I mean, didn't have a huge impact on the game, really. I don't think there was any injury there, although he was supposed to start and then didn't. Like, they announced it on the pregame graphic on social media, and then Pat Bev started. But Pat Connaughton played, but didn't play very much. So I don't know. Hopefully that's not, now I haven't thought of that with this before right now. I hope there's not an injury or something there. My spidey senses are tingling. That's odd. That's an odd thing to have happened. I don't know why that is. Hopefully everything's okay with Pat Connaughton and with Jay Crowder and with Giannis, who I haven't mentioned why. He Achilles tendonitis is the reason that he missed the game. And hopefully he, Giannis, and Chris Middleton are back very soon on this West Coast road trip. Although it sure is nice to start this run of five straight games against the West with a win without either of them. I mean, that's a great win to bank, and credit to everyone who played. But AJ Green, I actually think he is a good defender. I mean, Steven McAnderson, I think it's Steven, points out they hit him on zone on defense. He did get cooked by Harden last night. I don't know if Doc or the Bucks believe in his D as much as us. I don't think Doc is fully in on his defense. I will say I listened to Doc's presser, and he was asked a few questions about AJ, and it clearly he most believes in him as a shooter, which is fine. He talked about he fights on defense. And then I think at one point, like the second or third question, he did kind of say, like, he's earned my trust. He didn't say specifically defensively, but he did say he earned my trust. And I do think, you know, assuming Pat was able to go, and certainly Beasley was. I mean, he was in foul trouble and obviously just not playing very well. But still, that's the starter. That's the vet. That's the guy who's played a lot this season. And AJ Green played over him. Of course, also Danilo Gallinari, who I was ready to give Doc down stocks for. Honestly, Gallo played fine. I don't have a lot on Gallo. I mean, I don't. He had three assists. He had a really fun dunk. He got fouled and made both free throws. They make it work with him and Bobby on defense. I don't really understand. He moves around better than I thought he would laterally. I don't really know what it is he does totally yet. But he survived in this game, and you know he was a part of the win. I mean, if they got torched in his minutes, they would have been cooked. But he made it work.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But yeah, I don't think Doc is as high on AJ Green defensively as I am. We are listeners, and certainly, you know, Rohan and other GSPN hosts. But I think he continues to fight out there. I think he continues to be a very good passer. And of course, the shooting is the shooting. And I think Doc has this relationship where, for all the jokes about Doc generally, he's big on spacing. He's big on shooting. And he talked about, even if AJ is not making them, even if he's not taking them, having a shooter like that, and when he enters the game, the Clippers point at him and go, shooter, shooter, it opens up room for everyone. And I thought it was a great coaching decision to bring him in for that entire last run with Bees not able to hit any shots. Again, 2-for-11 from the field, just a rough shooting game for Malik Beasley. They had AJ one pass away from Dame pretty much all the time. Like, he was above the break beyond the arc. And that means if you're going to double Dame, that either whoever he passes it to, sometimes like Pat Bev was the outlet so he could make a decision from there, or it would be AJ right there, which I believe was the case when he made the one over Paul George. There's like, now it's like a double threat. So now it's, okay, let's say Dame gets doubled. Outlet to Pat Bev. Pat Bev's probably pretty open. But if you don't have someone then right on AJ Green too, then that's like a great look for the Bucks. The Clippers don't want to give that up. And you could tell they didn't. I mean, he took four. He could have taken one more. But they were really not trying to leave him open. But then if you're dedicating three guys above the break to cover two Bucks, then you're only leaving two guys to cover the remaining $3, which is a hard math problem. I think the Bucks took advantage. I think clearly these concepts are what they've been working on. We heard that they are. But I love the way they set up the floor. And I think some of the best Doc Rivers stuff may not be, you know, his rotations or, you know, his tactical, you know, oh, he used 15 defenses. Although the zone worked really well and it was a good wrinkle that slowed down the Clippers a lot. But his on-court stuff, like what I mentioned with Dame and, you know, with slowing down Bobby and the way they positioned the floor when they knew Dame was going to get doubled and, you know, Dame pulling the double up by half court to just leave so much space. I mean, just tactically, it feels like he's putting them in much better spots. And credit to AJ Green, who it seems like nobody doubted he was going to be able to hit a big shot in the fourth quarter. Doc mentioned it. Bobby Portis said he's the first one in the in the facility before practice, first one in before shoot around, doing his routine and getting ready. When Pat Bev is talking about the first guys to jump in on ones in a physical practice, it's Giannis calls him up, and then it's AJ Green and Bobby Portis. Like, he keeps getting mentioned. I think, and Giannis talking about bullies on the team, the third or fourth guy he said was AJ Green. These guys are in the respect of everyone on the team. I think it's very obvious. And even if it's not as, you know, even if they're not all locked into him as a defender, just like the way he goes about his business, the way he plays out there, the way I've never seen him rattled, I don't think. He just like plays his game. He's very stoic. I think AJ Green is here to stay in the rotation. I think he played more than Pat, played more than Gallo, 22 minutes in this game. Did not play as much as Beasley, although it was closing that gap. And again, I think Crowder would have played more were it not for the knee injury. So no update yet there. We will see what happens with that. But yeah, really, really cool game. Really fun to see from AJ Green. Like many, I did not have him on my bingo card as the young guy who would get the minutes and get the role this season. I mean, we're all so excited about Marjan. Then we're also excited about Andre Jackson. Marjan was hurt for this game, by the way, as was Chris Livingston. But don't honestly know if they would have played much anyway. The Gallo experiment, I still cringe a little bit. But this is now two games in a row where AJ Green has gotten the late crunch time minutes over him. And he's impressed in both games. I don't think that's nothing. I don't know if either guy will play that much when the Bucks are fully healthy, and certainly not in the playoffs. I mean, you're going to trim down the rotation. Obviously, Giannis and Chris will be playing a bunch when they are healthy. And, you know, Bobby has certainly earned his role back. That's without question. Pat Connaughton's played pretty well. Jay Crowder's played pretty well. I mean, we'll see if one of those guys is ice cold, maybe then. But AJ Green is stepping up, and this is a really important run for him as a developmental prospect. And it's an awesome story. Newmark goes, I didn't think AJ Green would be the young guy to play, but considering he is the one that got a contract this offseason, yeah, that's a good point. I honestly didn't know if they were going to bring him back just because, again, so many young players, only so many minutes, and this is a veteran team that there's never going to be room for like four young guys to be in the rotation. There's just not. I mean, they're not hitting their goals if they are, because you just don't know, and usually it takes a while for these guys to learn how to win. But AJ Green stamped. So anyone who wants to sound off at this point, ask a question or just share thoughts about the Bucks lately, the Doc Rivers Bucks, 6-0 since All-Star, or, you know, just share a comment, ask a question, whatever it may be. I will be able to bring people up on stage. So I'll go through and continue to just share some more thoughts as we wait, but feel free. I think there's a hand up button or a join stage button on here somewhere. Let me know. I can also invite you if you can't figure it out. So just let me know on that. And we will do that. But yeah, what a fun game. And looking at the Clippers side, when the way James Harden played in this game, I really wasn't sure if it would be possible for the Bucks to win. He was so good. And it probably should have been expected. This was the second night of a back-to-back for the Clippers. And the game before against the Timberwolves, he was 0 for 10. And, you know, as fun as it would be if James Harden was just washed and cooked, he's not. And he bounced back in a big way. 9 for 16 from the field. 5 for 10 from deep. The threes, him and Paul George, PG was 6 for 10 from three. Some of them were open, but a lot of them honestly weren't. And there was a point where I'm just like, okay, if the Clippers are going to knock down a bunch of contested threes in this game, I just don't know if the Bucks are going to be able to win it. Like, they need to be great defensively considering how much offensive firepower they're down. But they held Harden, or they didn't. I mean, Harden and PG-13 both scored 29. Both shot nearly 60% from the field and above 50% from three. And it just didn't matter. Mostly because the Bucks were able to keep Kawhi Leonard in check, never let him get comfortable. He was seeing a lot of double teams. Only had 16 points for Kawhi. And really, no one else on the Clippers was very good. No one else scored in double figures, even. Zubats had six. Daniel Tice had seven. How did the Pacers just give away Daniel Tice? Doesn't sit right with me. I think he's a good player. I'm not fond of that decision from Indiana. Norm Powell had six. Really expected Norm Powell to continue haunting the Bucks. Bones Highland had five. He's back in the rotation now with Russell Westbrook out. Amir Coffey had four. Yeah, just the supporting cast from the Clippers didn't do much. Kawhi didn't do nearly enough for what they needed. And some hilariously, they actually got smoked in PG's minutes, which is pretty funny. Numax says, how full was your heart when Pat Bev and Dame hugged? Pretty full. That was a fun clip. I mean, I wasn't really worried about it from the jump. You know, the whole, oh, they hate each other thing. Like, yeah, they'll be fine when they're on a team. I think Dame has been so mature. And, you know, Pat Bev has made his goals for the season very clear. Pat Bev wants to win a championship. Pat Bev has never won a championship. His goal is to win a championship. It's all he talks about on a lot of these podcasts and things. And he was not going to, you know, be an issue for this Bucks team. But it was really fun to see. I mean, they're bought in. They went to war together in a big way in this game. So that's this is the kind of game where you go through with everyone else who played, and it's like a, you know, it's like a new bond at that point. So that was really cool to see. I mean, still, the Pat Bev and Bobby clip was the most fun. I mean, my God. I was like, are they going to get a tech for not doing anything involving the Clippers? I was actually a little worried that one of them was going to get teed up, or both of them, because they were just so much. I mean, they literally play it like WWE. I mean, they're doing laps around the whole court, interacting with all the fans. It looks like on like wrestling when they run around and like before they're going to do a move. It's awesome. I hope they continue doing that every home game. I mean, the atmosphere at Fiserv, probably one of the best games ever in terms of just the crowd noise. I mean, I think the mics were just loud. Hot take, I hope they keep them that loud because it was way more fun hearing how into it the crowd was. You hear a bad Harden call and you hear the disgust from Fiserv Forum. That's the good stuff. That's what we need. Very great crowd energy from Fiserv, and of course, great moments to spur them on. Yeah, the Clippers usually have fast starts. Usually don't have fast starts. The Bucks do, but those roles switched. I mean, yeah, it was. I that third quarter when they were down 15, I was just like, it's just gonna be tough. It's just gonna be tough from here to overcome 15 points with Clippers getting some calls, and you know, I thought with Beasley not playing well, it was gonna be really hard. I mean, if he's knocking down most of his threes. At that point, it's like a close-ish game. It's a pretty close game. But I was like, Beasley could get hot, but it might just be too far down now. No, the Bucks were, I mean, just so great in the fourth. I mean, I was honestly very surprised. I'd have to go back and see the timeouts left in the game. I was pretty surprised Ty Lue didn't call some more timeouts in that fourth quarter. Because there was, I think Eric Name was asking the questions in the post-game pressers that I listened to last night. And he kept referring to six straight stops about halfway through the fourth quarter. And you could feel it at the moment. Like, they're not going to hit a shot in the next couple of possessions. Like, they're exhausted. It was the second night of a back-to-back. I will say that now about the Clippers. The Bucks were without Giannis and Chris, which I think is worse, clearly. And I tweeted last night, if you're listening to a national NBA broadcast or media thing, podcast, TV show, whatever, and they open with the Clippers on the second night of a back-to-back, just turn it off, cut it off, because that's not the story to take away from this game. But they were, and you could see that the tired legs were kind of factoring in for the Clippers, and the Bucks were just, like, so locked in. And there was all, but even in that stretch, though, there's, like, two, three possessions in a row where the Bucks didn't score either. then the Clippers come back and, like, you know, take the lead back, and the Bucks just wouldn't stop. I mean, it was, I mean, I just think they're all on the same page. They believe so much in what they're doing. Dame said before the game that, you know, like, they didn't prep like, oh, we're without Giannis and Chris for this game. Doc came in before the game and they're instilling the game plan. And it was just like, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to win the game. It wasn't, here's how we make up for Giannis. It was like, this is what the guys who are playing need to do tonight. And that's what it looked like out there. I mean, they had every excuse to not win this game, and they just didn't take them, which is awesome. Because I think this is a Bucks team that prior to the All-Star break and certainly prior to Doc coming in, probably did have too many built-in excuses. I think they bought into a little bit. And again, I think one of the great things about Doc is just cuts through. He's very honest. He's very honest with the players, with the media, with everyone. Didn't even want this job. This is the greatest sacrifice he's ever made, coaching the Milwaukee Bucks with Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. But no, he is, it feels like they're cutting through a lot of the BS and just, hey, why don't we just be a good defense with Damian Lillard and Malik Beasley up front, no Giannis, and Bobby Portis and Danilo Gallinari as our bench bigs? How about we just play a good defense anyway? And that's what they did. They held the Clippers to 106 points in this game, despite the Clippers shooting 40% from three. I think this is really, and I said on our pod, Rohan and I recorded Monday morning, this is a good kind of test for how the Celtics are. And I think the Celtics are better, obviously. I mean, slide in Kristaps Porzingis for Ivica Zubac and you're getting better. Slide in Derek White, or if you want to say Drew Holiday or whoever, for Terrence Mann, that's going to help too. But you get the point. A couple superstar forwards and a star guard, point guard, or whatever you want to call James Harden. And, you know, it's a matchup problem team, but they kind of have the same weakness in that neither one will go to the rim enough at times. And the Clippers don't have the Porzingis to fix that. Obviously, you don't want to post up Zubats a bunch. And that really hurt the Clippers as they tried to weather the storm in the fourth quarter. I mean, the Bucks, Brook Lopez, when he checks back into that game, they were like, you're not shooting anything at the rim. Or you're not making it. Maybe you'll get a foul call. You're not making anything at the rim. We're going to be all over you at the rim. And it's just hard to shoot jumpers through that, man. If you haven't seen a shot go in 5 minutes and you're losing your lead and all the momentum and all the fans are on the other team's side, it's hard to knock down jumpers. You got to get to the rim and open that thing up. And the Bucks just said, you're not going to. And the Clippers were like, okay, we won't. They took so many bad threes in the third quarter or in the fourth quarter. I want to look it up. Exactly what they did. I mean, I said they shot 40% from three. So they, for the game, were 16 for 40. And in the fourth quarter, they were 5 for 14. 35.7%. That was almost all of their shots. They were overall 7 for 20 from the field. So they were 2 of 6 from 2 in the fourth quarter. 5 of 14 from deep. 6 for 11 from free throw. That's, ooh. I mean, the Bucks missed some free throws. I thought it was really going to cost them. Missing 5 free throws in the fourth quarter. In that game, the Clippers lost by 7. That's tough. That's a tough one. Gotta shoot the free throws better than that. But again, Kawhi Leonard just really was held down a lot. 0 for 4 from the field in the fourth quarter. Made a couple nice passes, but played 8 minutes and just was not able to do much. Harden and PG continued to play well. They were combined 6 of 10 from the field. Harden got those damn and ones that he really didn't deserve, but I don't blame him for those because, I mean, he made the shots. It wasn't a total flop. He sold the contact, but, you know, just don't call that would be a good answer, I think. But, yeah, I think the Clippers got baited and taking too many threes. Paul George, 3 for 4 from deep, so everyone else on the team was 2 for 10. I just think they took a lot of bad shots. A lot of early shots, didn't work the offense. It felt like that when they worked the ball and moved the ball and ran actions, they picked the Bucks apart. I mean, the Bucks just did not have enough without Giannis out there. Just hard to defend for 48 minutes, but they found a way, and the zone helps a lot with that too. Certainly the zone was a big factor in Milwaukee slowing down the Clippers, but I also just thought you can't settle for that many jumpers. Almost everything they took in that quarter was a jumper. And that's just not a way to play winning basketball, especially when you got Bobby Portis on the other end, getting to the rim, Dame trying to get to the rim. What a great game. And of course, the Gallo dunk. What a wild time. Danilo Gallinari slamming home a dunk to close out. It wasn't obviously the last bucket in the game, but what a game. Oh my goodness. I love this game. It's hard to say a game without Giannis was the game of the year, but I honestly think this might have been the game of the year for the Milwaukee Bucks, which is beautiful. No callers yet. If anyone else has anything in chat, drop it in. I'll continue to read chat. But Numak asks, you think Kawhi is still a guy on defense? I think he still shows flashes. But if Bobby can cook you for a whole game, it's interesting. That is interesting. I was not wowed by his defense in this game. He did have 4 steals. So I did notice that. Obviously, he didn't just do nothing on defense. But it wasn't a great defensive game. For Kawhi, despite the 4 steals. And it's felt especially in the fourth quarter. He was the guy guarding Bobby Portis in that quarter. And he just couldn't do anything about it. Bobby Portis was going at him like it was just anybody. And the results were there. Bobby was 5 for 7 in the quarter, 2 for 2 from 3. He was just amazing. It was like no one was guarding him. One of his best finishes over Kawhi. It was such a cool play because AJ Green got the ball above the break and probably was open enough to shoot it and instead made the pass to Bobby in the post. It felt to me like he was saying, let's not rely on jumpers too much. We need to continue working the ball. I think that is the easiest way to shoot yourself out of that game if you start taking early shot clock threes that are semi-open. And I thought it was a great decision by AJ to dump it down to Bobby Portis. Doc called it a good to great, which I'm like, is Bobby Portis posting up Kawhi Leonard great? It was in this game, so I guess it is. I guess, yes, it qualifies. And then Bobby finishes over through Kawhi. And again, Kawhi is 6'8", jacked, one of the best defenders of his generation. Bobby's 6'10", apparently even stronger. Was able to move him a little bit and get to the rim and finish through him. It was just awesome. He just decided in that game, Kawhi couldn't guard him. He was right. He made it look easy. You know what else is easy? Got a couple more questions here I'm going to answer. But you know what else is easy? Folks, playing with Prize Picks. You pick more, you pick less. It's that easy when you're playing Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on 2 or more player stats. Watch the winnings roll in. Prize Picks has something from every sports fan. From NBA and NHL to League of Legends, everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Connor McDavid, Jude Bellingham, all in the same entry. Prize Picks is the best way to get in on the action in more than 30 states across the country, including, of course, Wisconsin. That's a big one. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this basketball season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $100 with just a few taps. Listen, I always like the Giannis more than. Starting to feel the Dame more than too. I've been doing rebounds and assists and other things because the points haven't always been there. Really wish I had gone for the points in this one. Whatever it was, I'm sure Dame was well more than. So download the app today and use code EUROSTEP for a first deposit match up to $100 or go to prizepicks.com/EUROSTEP. Use that promo code EUROSTEP. Again, that first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. Stephen McAnderson asks, Dame, Malik, AJ, Gallo, Bobby for the first 6 minutes of the fourth. How about that lineup? The funny thing... I feel like Doc has run some crazy Gallo lineups. They just figure it out. They just do it. I think they like his size. I don't know how functional the size is. He's held up. That is a lineup where you would think there's just no defense, and that's not going to work at all. I think credit to the players who are just super bought in and locked in because they've made lineups like that work. I don't think we're going to see many lineups like that, throughout the rest of the season. But also, I'm not going to hold that lineup against Doc too much because who else are you going to put in there? They were resting Brook. Pat Connaughton did not play in the fourth quarter. Now I'm really intrigued. I don't know if anyone asked about Pat. Like, was something going on there? Or they just decided not to play him? But I assume Jay Crowder was out. Like, not going to play at all. So the only other players you really had were Brook Lopez, maybe Pat Connaughton, and Patrick Beverley. And Bev was getting a rest too. And Crowder wasn't playing. And obviously Lopez isn't a perimeter defender. So the answer is they just didn't have much to guard the perimeter. And yet they held Kawhi, Paul George, and Harden to 25 points in the fourth, which six of them were on like basically garbage time threes by Paul George. Paul George might have been playing prize picks. Paul George might have said more than on himself because I'm like, why are you doing this? Why do teams hate the Bucks net rating so much? I don't know. But yeah, that lineup sounds like it should be garbage. And they figured it out. I mean, clearly they like something about some of these pairings. The Gallo, Bobby Portis. I mean, I don't know. I was going to say, you think when they play a real good team that they would get shredded, but I feel like they played that lineup obviously against the Clippers. I feel like they played it against the Wolves. I don't know. There's like, it doesn't even add up to me. I don't really understand it. But they're making it work. IMQ1265 says, Pat Bev is the activator. We had all the right ingredients, but bread isn't bread without yeast. Pat Bev is our yeast? This is the comment of the year. Oh my God. Where's the pin? Can I pin this? Yeah, let's pin this. Pat Bev is the yeast. My wife loves baking bread. I'm going to share this with her. This is an analogy she'll support. I kind of think it's right. I kind of do. I was thinking after the game. Shout out to Daryl Morey, who traded Pat Bev to the Bucks for campaign and a 2027 Milwaukee second round pick. What a deal. Why would you do that? Do you know how mad I would be if the Bucks had Pat Bev and they were just like, here, you know, one of our rivals in the Eastern Conference, you can have this guy. We'd rather have more draft capital for 2027. And, you know, campaign tried, but campaign was not doing this for the Bucks at all. Respect to him as a player and, you know, better shooter or whatever than Pat Bev. Sure, that's fine. Does not have that same dog. He dances real good, but is not that dog. He's not the yeast that Pat Bev is. So thank you, Daryl Morey, for making all of our dreams come true. I really do think the Pat Bev addition has been big in just making this team even more aggressive and physical. I think Doc would have helped a lot either way. But a game like this, I don't think they win this game with campaign instead of Pat Bev. Probably not even close. Maybe it's close if campaign is, you know, has one of his like one every eight games where he's like just randomly 4 for 5 from three. They still might have lost though versus just the intensity and the defense that Pat Bev has brought. And clearly, especially on this team, they just need that skill set. So I'm all in on Pat Bev as the activator slash yeast. I don't know how he would feel about being called yeast. He might be into it though. We know he's on board with hops and barley. He says he loves beer. He loves how much Milwaukee loves beer. So maybe he'd be okay being yeast as well. Maybe he's just in on being associated with grains. So also, someone get Pat Bev a Spotted Cow. He was talking about someone in Philly told him there's like this legendary beer you can only get in Wisconsin. You know, they don't let him sell it anywhere else. Everyone, if you see Pat Bev, hand him a Spotted Cow. Let's make sure he doesn't want to leave because I want Pat Bev around for the long haul. I want his podcast around for the long haul too. What an experience it is. I can't wait. When do we know when the next episode's coming out? Let me pull this up quick because the Bell to Ass experience has just been, it's been so good. I did not expect any of this when I saw the Bucks got Pat Bev, but he has just been, no word on the next pod yet. He has just been so much of what they need. Hopefully they get another one done in Milwaukee before the Bucks head out on the West Coast road trip, which we previewed a little bit on the last podcast. But let's see. I think the first one's in Golden State. It's taking forever to load on NBA.com. It is. 9 p.m. Oh, that's an ESPN game. 9 p.m. on ESPN. Bucks Warriors. We'll see if Giannis is back. We'll see if Chris is back. Both could be back. I don't know if either will be. But the way this team is playing, it's kind of easy to believe in them even if they're not back, which is, did not expect to say that, but heading into the All-Star break or even this game. I kind of went into it feeling some dread without Giannis. Kind of like, oh, is this going to get ugly? Is this going to snap the losing streak in ugly fashion and, you know, take away the positive momentum? Because I saw a lot of, oh, the Bucks have played well but since All-Star, but they haven't played anyone besides the Wolves, who are very good. But I saw a lot of that. Like, oh, you know, Bucks, they look better, but let's see it against some more real teams. And everyone saw it against a pretty real team, I would say, on Monday night. And hopefully they can also bring it on this West Coast trip. I mean, I said 3 or 4 wins out of these 5 games. I think that's still very much in play. Health is going to be a big determinant. I mean, if you're without Giannis for multiple of these, it just gets tougher. But the way they've played, and maybe can Dame settle a little score with Steph Wednesday night? He doesn't have a great record against the Warriors. That would be a fun development for sure. But I think that's it for me. I just scared my dog. That's it for me on this this live on playback solo Eurostep. Appreciate everyone who tuned in live. Thank you to everyone who listens to the After the Fact pod. Make sure to check out gspn.info for all of our links, including the playback room, the Discord, where everyone in there got a notification when I went live here, and we'll get a notification whenever we do, whether it's a live podcast on YouTube or more playbacks like this. So make sure you join the Discord and subscribe to the pod if you haven't already. If we appreciate people who do YouTube and audio platforms, if you want to, all the links are at gspn.info. Thank you again for listening. Pod Random, and we will talk to you next time.